You're listening to Radio Lightworker with your featured host,
Jackie Walker.
So hello and welcome to the Loving Relationship Show with Jackie Walker for our May edition. And today I'm delighted to be honoured with the company of Amy Palko. Hello, Amy.
Hello, Jackie.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well today, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, I know that people on Lightworker already know about you because you were interviewed, a few months ago by Tom, weren't you, Tom Evans?
I was. Goodness me, it almost feels like a lifetime ago, actually, because so much has happened in the meantime.
Well, do you know, that's why I wanted to share with all the Lightworker people listening in and the listeners, because both you and I have change direction, and I'm sure everyone's probably been doing that. This year, 2011, has really seen and wrought a lot of changes for everyone. And I from my own self, I've noticed this depth of clarity coming through, where there's a wonderful saying, out of confusion comes clarity. And, you know, as long as we stay working towards something that we can align ourselves wholly with, it will appear through that process. And that's what's been happening for you, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I think clarity and clarification of purpose have been what the last couple of months have been all about for me, really.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of last year, I had a very good idea of kind of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go with it.
Yeah.
And so I did. You know, I set it all up straight away and started moving forward with that. However, over the last about 6 weeks or so, mm-hmm. I've just all of a sudden got a much clearer idea of where I'm going with things. And so instead of what I had before, which was quite a general website, which was focused on the sacred feminine and spirituality,
yeah.
That's now kind of shifted. Well, not shifted, but deepened.
Mm-hmm.
I think because the direction hasn't changed. It's just everything's become much deeper and richer. And yes, so that's kind of, I've just actually done a rebrand of the site to kind of reflect that clarification. And that's what I've been working on recently.
Which is lovely. And people might not remember, but in case, and you may never have listened to Tom's recording with you before, a lot of Amy's work previously was focused on the goddesses and the goddess archetypes from the Greek I can never get that word right. Is it
pantheon?
Pantheon.
Yeah.
and actually, what you have now created in your new website and your new branding is this most magical permission slip, is what you call it, to be yourself, haven't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. I started thinking along the lines of about self-centered.
Yeah.
And how we regard that as being a very sort of negative term. If we say that somebody's being self-centered, we basically mean they're being selfish. And I thought, actually, the two are very different things from each other. And the difference lies in being centered in self and being centered on self. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to provide a space and tools and strategies, etc., particularly for women, actually, to be centered in self, to be self-centered, because I believe that it's when we are centered in ourselves that we find empowerment, we find flow, and we find happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually something that a lot of us lose in our roles and our responsibilities and our relationships as women. And so really, I then restructured the whole website around that permission slip idea. So that's kind of what I've been doing. So the website is now called Me, Myself and I.
I love that.
Which, I did a short video. I've been doing quite a lot of videos as well. It's everything I've been doing. But I did a short video for the launch of the website, which I retold the poem that I was taught when I was 5 or 6 years old, which has the same title.
Oh, go on, give us it, because I just love your telling of it. I mean, people go and see you reciting it. We'll give them the web link, but do tell us, because it's so beautiful.
Okay. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, just 3 and all, just I, myself, and me. Myself eat up the sandwiches while I drank up the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me.
I adore that. And I bet you got plenty of cake often enough.
I'm quite sure I did, yeah. But, you know, I'm just thinking how funny it was, you know, that I was taught that poem, you know, when I was so little. And yet it still holds so much importance, and how the seeds for our big projects in life are planted so early on. And that's a fascinating idea, actually.
No, that is very true. And I was thinking, what triggered me when I was little? Because I remember having to write a poem. And I think there were very few lines. Let me see if I can remember it. I wrote, "Some people think it's funny, but I don't really care. I think that a bunny looks worse off in a snare."
I played you too.
But, you know, well, of course, I lived on a farm, and we did have snares. But do you know, when I think about it, I think that runs the course of my work. I think that a lot of the things that hold us back are our snares.
Yeah.
And people do think I'm funny, and I don't really care. So thank you for reminding me of that.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. You know, you look back at the time sort of between, I suppose, age of 3 and 7, and the kind of things that you were fanatical about, because you are fanatical at that age. Do you know, and the kind of ways that you chose to express yourself, or the kind of poems or books or whatever that you learned that are still there with you. And you'll find that those are really significant building blocks in who you are now, and how you choose to express yourself today.
Absolutely. I've got lashings of lemonade sitting beside me. Oh, but no, it is absolutely true. And in those days, you know, you were fearless, majority of people. And interesting, I've just been writing the most amazing, I call it amazing, but then I've written it. I feel really strongly at last that I have written a course and a program which will be available online very soon. And one of the things that I shared in it is that as a child, love, we are dependent on love coming to us externally for our own sustenance. You know, we are dependent.
Yeah.
So love comes to us, and we create patterns, we create strategies, we create emotional dependencies on other people because of that dependency and need for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And my work is based in unpicking that to help people recognize as an adult they are no longer that child, and that child did it for a reason. Yeah. Now, bizarrely, what also crossed my mind was whether or not that was just a mummy's look or tut or raised voice, or whether it was some form of child abuse, because that can happen. The young child's own unconscious mind has no way of differentiating between the severity,
yes,
of what's going on. All it knows is, I have to do something to be safe and to be loved so that I can survive. And it makes no difference to a little child what the problem was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can clear so much up when we address that and look at that and take it, go there through adult eyes. And it makes it ever so much easier and much more gentle than people realize to be able to do that when we can let these things go.
Mm, absolutely. And I think this is actually one of those places where our work really comes together, isn't it? You know, what I do through Bloom by Moon is basically give people different perspective to explore about themselves. And quite often when they start exploring those perspectives, it'll start to reveal these moments or these attitudes or these emotional blocks, which they then struggle to move past. Yeah. And, you know, that's absolutely the point at which, you know, you would come in and help people through that.
I know, and you know, isn't it lovely? We didn't even plan it, but we've been working together in a sort of way for a couple of years now. But now we've got two products that tie in so beautifully. I love that because one of the starting points of my of me writing this was to help people learn to soften, and that's where I was starting from. Actually, I don't know that it is actually what I'm doing. It is what I'm doing. However, that is a byproduct I've worked out. But there's a huge sheet of resources within one of the week's courses for which me, myself, I is immediate. I really encourage people to go and visit your website. How do they find it, Amy? It's under amypalko.com, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. It's www.amypalko.com. Oh. And sort of in that space, in that online space, I have a sanctuary, and that's Bloom by Moon. So you'll find that at bloombymoon.ning.com. But you can also get to that through my amypalko.com site. But the sanctuary is basically like a online community, whereby I release a certain amount of content each new moon, and it's there for people to then work through and feedback if they want to, and explore kind of for themselves how they're connecting to the moon and the different cultural interpretations of it and different goddess narratives, etc., etc. So
it really is a beautiful resource. I mean, I've been a member of Bloom by Moon now since January, well, since it launched. In January, and it really has been fabulous. And you really have built up quite a strong and regular following. And people, when they find it, tend to stick to it because it fits so many different people because you've got so many different styles of accessibility. So you've got visualizations, recorded visualizations, and you've got prompts, and you've got journaling, and you've got creative stuff, and then you've got these fantastic stories, which people might not have. Well, you tend to translate the stories in slightly different ways so that we can apply them to today's life.
Absolutely. I call them interpretations or lovingly retold. I tend to say, and basically I go with where my intuition takes me with a goddess narrative. So I'll do quite a bit of research beforehand, although sometimes the goddess narrative will be particularly familiar to me, but I'll still do a bit of research beforehand and then I'll start in on writing them. And I'm always amazed, actually, at how easily they flow and just how much comes through them that we can then explore and analyse. I mean, one of the things that I do at university, I'm a university teacher, and I teach in small groups, and we explore English literature. And so I'm very comfortable with coming up with ways to look at texts and from different perspectives and coming up with questions that will help other people to come to their own interpretations. And so that's really what I'm doing with the goddess narrative, is I'm providing a retelling of the story. It may not be the one that you're necessarily familiar with, but I'm sure there'll be some similarities. And then a series of questions which will then help you to understand your own personal connection to the story and choose how you would like to interpret it for yourself. And through doing that, you not only understand the story better, I mean, understanding the story better is almost like a byproduct, actually, because really what you're doing is you're finding out more about yourself, and that's really where the sort of, you know, becoming more centered in yourself, understanding yourself, going through that journey of personal discovery comes in.
Yeah, and it really is quite something, and you know, the fact that you link it to the moons makes it really helpful. And this month's moon, or this full moon we've just had, or are having, actually, isn't it? It's having, because we're recording. It was last night, wasn't it?
It was last night, yes.
Yeah. Wow, what a moon.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my goodness me. It's not for sideways, but I'm clearing. Is this a clearing moon?
I think it is, actually. I mean, it was, well, one of the cultural interpretations that I look at is an astrological interpretation. It was the full moon in Scorpio.
Mm.
And, of course, the Scorpio archetype, I suppose, is all about depth. It's all about secrecy. It's all about darkness and shadows. So really it's an opportunity to go into the shadows and reclaim your shadow and bring, and come out into the light. So yes, in that sense, it's very much a clearing.
Well, I don't suppose there's any surprise then that I've been writing so manically that on those very subjects, because that is really what I'm looking at, is what you are keeping secret. And in fact, what I the purpose of my program is to allow the safe transition from covering up parts of yourself to being seen for who you are, mm-hmm. so that it actually teaches people to be shameless. How lovely. Shameless, fearless, to be lighter, trusting and faithful,
yeah.
which will in turn open them to love, obviously. So no surprise at all that it's been really building up very strongly for me. And I've had the most amazing experiences the last couple of days with debt, secrecy, shadows. Things that have come up that I thought had disappeared and gone have come up for closure, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no pain involved whatsoever, because that pain happened a couple of years ago, whenever these, in the people I'm thinking of. And they've come up, and it's like, hello, bye-bye, and it's and off they go.
Well, see, interestingly, yesterday was also the day that you celebrate Buddha's birthday.
Ah.
Buddha Purnima is celebrated on the full moon in May.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the central tenets of Buddhism, and the one that I focused on in Bloom by Moon, this circle, was impermanence. So about coming to terms with the fact that everything changes. Everything goes through that cycle of birth, life, death, rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, absolutely, it's going to be a time for clearing and a time for moving on and birthing new projects.
Wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, well, that's fantastic. And your timing was spot on, wasn't it? For your new project, you just got that, I must do it today.
Yes.
What was it? I can't remember. Tell us about that, because you have been, you're now so, you have been tuned in for a long time, but your intuition is really ramping through the roof at the moment, which is just glorious to watch. It's so delightful. And you've got so clear on when, how, what, and your trusting has grown to this level that you just know now, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I would say that when I do feel very strongly about something, I'm absolutely just going with it, and more often than not, it absolutely comes through for me. Mm. And so it's been a huge lesson in trust, but it's been made a lot easier by the fact that every time I have done it, it's come through. So that's been very exciting.
Well, yes. Now, isn't that funny? Because we have to keep practicing what works. And the more we allow that muscle to be worked, the stronger it becomes.
Mm.
And, you know, the very first time that you do it, one can often feel a little bit, will I, won't I, will I, won't I, will I, won't I, oh, go on. And you do it and it works. And you go, wow, that worked.
Yeah.
So you can do it again, and the muscle suddenly goes, "Hey, they know I'm here." Now I can up the ante quite safely.
Yes, and it really does up the ante.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I suppose, in December last year that I decided that this idea for Bloom by Moon kind of sort of just dropped into my head,
mm-hmm.
and I just instantly knew I had to pull it together. So I put out an intention to do it. I pre-launched on the 21st of December, which then gave me a week to really pull everything together in order to launch properly with new content, which hadn't been written at that point, on the 4th of January.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was, and the kind of response that I got to that was just incredible.
Yeah.
And then to move sort of fast forward to this rebranding of the website, to me, myself and I, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I was chatting to one of our friends, Leah Woodward, about the rebranding of her site, Kinetiva, I always pronounce it wrong. And she was talking about changing the tagline. And they changed the tagline to being pioneer of your own life. And she's saying, you know, that she felt that pioneer was so important because that a lot of people see themselves as pioneers. And I was saying, well, yeah, of course, because pioneer is an archetype. And I kind of thought, oh, hang on, well, who's the archetype that I'm marketing to? Mm. You know, who's the archetype that I'm serving? And so I kind of, you know, had a bit of a wobble. I was thinking, well, as women, oh, well, you know.
Oh, that's easy then. What a niche.
So I thought, okay, well, it's women who are seeking. And what are they seeking? Well, they're seeking their centre. They're seeking themselves. And it just so happened that for that month's Bloom by Moon, I had chosen to write about Hera, which was interesting in and of itself because I was supposed to be writing about the Sumerian goddess Inanna, and got a very clear message, I suppose, that Inanna, it wasn't Inanna's time this time, it was Hera's. Mm-hmm. And I haven't intended to write about Hera at all this year. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I thought, well, I'm just going to go with that because it's shouting at me so strongly to do that. And it was actually as I was writing Hera's narrative that I kind of put this together with women seeking their centre, because Hera's narrative is all about a loss of centre. You know, and we all know Hera for this kind of vengeful shrew that gets, you know, that's married to Zeus, and Zeus has all these affairs, and then she runs around after him and bringing horrible curses and things down on his mistresses and their children. Mm-hmm. But really, we never really look at the sort of the start of her story and the end of her story. And when we do that, we see that in actual fact, she was a woman who was sort of in and of herself. Very clear in her purpose, very clear in her idea of herself. And then she got married, and then she started to identify herself through her relationship, through her connection with Zeus. And then when Zeus undermines that connection, then she's completely distraught because it's like the bottom's dropped out of her world, isn't it?
Well, yes.
And so after a while, what she does then is she retreats. She withdraws from the relationship altogether and spends some time discovering who she is again. You know, who is she when she's not a wife? And it's only when she comes to a place of understanding that she can then reunite with her husband. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, it's a marriage of equals. It's not the same. It's not the same relationship it was before. It's a much healthier one, because she's no longer investing herself in her identity in her marriage.
Yes, hugely strong and very, very. That's one that will that so many people can resonate with.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, do you know, I just think that, I mean, from my own personal experience, you know, there's been about three or four different points throughout my life so far, mm-hmm. where I have felt like I've completely lost my centre. Yes. I've completely lost my sense of self. I've completely lost my identity. And sometimes that's happened in my studies. You know, when I was pursuing my PhD. Mm-hmm. I very much identified myself through my PhD. Yeah. And so when you finish the PhD, it's like, oh, hang on, I'm not I'm not a student anymore. I'm not my PhD. Oh, hang on, who am I?
Yeah.
Got married at 19, and I think I very much lost myself at the start of the marriage. I think a lot of women do. Mm. And then I lost myself through the care of my three very small children at the time, where I became my children's mother rather than just being myself. So yes. I would introduce myself as, hi, I'm Aurora's mummy, or,
yes.
You know, and I would never actually say my name. Sometimes I would walk away from having met somebody new thinking, I never even told them what my name was.
Yes, yes.
They just know me as somebody else's mummy.
Yes.
So, you know, there's certain points, so that's through job, through relationship, and through my role as a mother, that I've lost myself, lost my way. And really each time what's happened then is I've had to become a bit more introspective, a bit more assertive, and a bit more self-centered. Yeah, I've had to create me time, and I've had to create structures that will then help me focus back on who I am. And when I do that, everybody benefits from that. You know, it's actually a very generous act to center in yourself, because the moment that you do that, you have so much more to give. Mm. You know, mm. The other way around is you just end up running on empty, and then everybody's miserable.
Yes, and that's when an awful lot of blame starts meeting out, and a bit of and frustration and anger and nitpicking, because you're wobbly.
Yeah, and you're unhappy.
You haven't got that centre, which is right in the core, which allows you to stand strong for who you are. And I love that it's not specifically to a marriage to a husband. It's this marriage to, it's not even a marriage. It's this connection, deep, deep, deep connection to something other than you, that you completely give over your life effectively to.
Absolutely. I think you can, I mean, Hera's often said to be the goddess of marriage, and I think it's actually much more helpful to think of Hera as the goddess of commitment.
Mm.
So when we make a commitment, and that could be to a project, it could be to the raising of your children, it could be to another person,
mm-hmm.
But when we make that commitment, what we tend to do is we invest our sense of self in success of that commitment and in our ability to commit.
Mm-hmm.
And in actual fact, I'm not convinced that's a very healthy approach to give over ourselves so completely.
No, that's fascinating, because I'm just thinking about where else that happens. You know, the people that this commitment, that it's almost like it becomes an addiction in a way, or it can do, depending if that's part of your makeup. For many people it won't be, but you know, you can see that that's where alcohol comes in,
mm-hmm.
or adrenaline, you know, adrenaline junkies,
mm-hmm.
And it makes them feel good at the time,
mm-hmm.
but they have to keep doing it in order to have that buzz. So it's you know, even just plain old going to the gym on a constant basis, and yes, we do need to exercise and we do need to do this, but it's about bringing balance in, really.
Yeah, I wonder to what extent though that's coping strategies for when the centre has been lost, so that we bring in say alcohol or internet use.
Well, do you know, now that you mention it, it absolutely is, and in fact one of the things in my programme, I had a love substitute.
Yes, I think that's what that is. I think that's a love substitute.
Yeah, and you know, when we're talking centre on self, you are talking love of self as well.
Yeah. Oh, because, absolutely, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. You know, I think we kind of get to a point when we do get into that state where we've invested our sense of self in something outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
That we just become very lost.
Yeah.
And then we will start to look around for anything really to kind of latch onto.
Yeah.
But when we center it in ourselves, we're telling ourselves that we are loved,
yeah.
you know, and that we are lovable as well, you know. And when we tell ourselves that, and when we allow ourselves to fully embrace that, then ultimately everything's so much better.
Oh, it completely is. And you know, this is one of the funny things, is that actually being able to believe it in your body that you're lovable, because I had a very interesting therapy session with a friend of mine, and we were working through something, and I got to the I love myself, and that was absolutely true. I did love myself, and she was quite surprised. nothing like keeping your own beliefs out of it. No, and bless her. I could see she was quite surprised at that, and so was I, to be honest. And she then asked the next question. She said, because it was a semi-kinesiology, so she was muscle testing. Did I love Jackie? Well, I didn't love Jackie at all.
Mm.
So it was like that I had been split somewhere along the line. So there were parts, and in my language of the work that I do, I had two parts, and I had never recognized that Jackie was separate to me.
Mm.
So really, this is why I love your me, myself, I.
Yes.
It's pulling me, myself, and I all together. So it's three parts all as one. And what I recognize is that nothing can harm us when all the parts are whole and healed, because there are no gaps.
Yeah.
And it's only when there's a separation and a little bit of conflict going on that anything can come in to hurt or deviate us off track. Because, you know, if you've got one part is Jackie and one part is me, then both are going different ways, because they're both going along ways to look after the soul of me the best they can.
Yeah.
Because my soul is neither me nor Jackie.
Yeah.
And I think that can be, that's quite a big challenge for a lot of people to get used to understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. About the unification of the self.
Mm.
You know, I mean, really, if you look at the development of any child, of any baby, what they do is they move into individuation, you know, where we separate ourselves from our mother, you know, because we're first born, we believe we are our mother.
Yes.
We believe that there's nothing, you know, to separate us, that's who we identify through. And then we enter into language. And the moment that we enter into language, which some psychoanalysts call the law of the father, we then separate. And we then acknowledge that we are actually individuals. And then it's funny because I think, you know, as the older that we get and the more further down our spiritual path, I feel like we're almost trying to get back to that point of pre-individuation.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. I think you have to get to a point where you bring it all back together. And there'd be a reason for the for the separation. We've got to learn the lessons.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And then it is the rest of our life is spent gathering it back up. And we can do that as quickly or as slowly as we are willing to address change and want to do it.
Because to be honest, I mean, we need the two halves. You know, it's like the difference between the right brain and the left brain, you know, is that we need to have that which makes us different, that which makes us special, and that which makes us, you know, me and you. but we also need to get into that sort of space where we're not all separate, we are all connected. There's a wonderful TED talk by Jill Bolte Taylor where she discusses her experience of a stroke, and she then experiences what it's like to only function with the left, with the right brain. So and then the left brain comes back online again and then goes off again. So she's actually had that very personal experience of what it's like to live and live life through just one part of your brain. And I thoroughly recommend it. It's an absolutely brilliant talk. But it very cleverly shows you that interaction between the need to be an individual, the need to be able to differentiate self and other from the moving into that sort of more numinous state where everything is connected and there's no separation.
Can we have her name again, please, Amy?
Yeah, it's Jill Bolte Taylor. So it's BOLTETAYLOR.
Brilliant.
And that's on TED, TED.com.
Excellent. I think I've seen that one. Is that the one? She has a heart attack at home.
Oh, it's a stroke.
Stroke at home. Sorry.
Yes.
It really is a fascinating story to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. It's fantastic. Well, that's wonderful. Now, Amy, right now we've just had full moon, so I'm guessing that the May moon, the Hera one, has ended.
It has, and we're going to be opening the June. Moon cycle, the June moon cycle, moon circle, in about a week's time. I tend to open them up about a week prior to the new moon, and the new content will be released on the new moon. And so, yes, you want to go and check it out. And basically, what I allow people to do is they can join Bloom by Moon for free. However, to access the moon circles, which is where I actually release the content, you need to purchase that. So I sell them individually, so you can buy like a one-off invite into the June Moon Circle, and that's £20. But I also have a subscription so that you can have access to all of the content between now and whenever you cancel your subscription. So that's £15. However, I also take out of the content the goddess story and the visualization, and that's then available to purchase separately for £10.
Fantastic.
So there's a variety of different ways that you can access what you want to.
Well, anyway, it works beautifully, and I know people who have done each and every single one of them, and I do know that the feedback is phenomenal. The testimonials you get for it are superb, and so I really do encourage anybody, if you would like to have a very gentle, probing, soft place, it's a retreat. It is it. Sanctuary, I think it's lovely. Amy Palko, AmyPalko.com. So pop along there and see what you've got there. And come and visit my website, Jackie Walker, that's JCKIE, Walker.me. My program will be out and running round about the beginning of June, so I really look forward to sharing that with you because I'm very excited about it. It is absolutely. I'm so excited because it's pulled together and it's a culmination of all the bits of self-development work I've learned and trained in over the last 7-8 years, drawing from NLP, hypnosis, timeline, Reiki, shamanic practices, you name it, it's all in there. The bits that I have found worked for me. But more importantly, it's actually a culmination of my own understanding gained through my somewhat rich and full of mishap life and all my joys and experiences. So I really do hope that you'll pop over and say hello to us. And we look forward to welcoming you. And that will end our loving relationship talk. Go and love yourselves, everyone. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really chuffed and it's been lovely to chat with you.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. It's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Radio Lightworker, the art of positive living.